here. I just got a message from Delford White Crow. Indian Baptist Church is having their camp meeting June 1st through the 4th. It's 916 West 7th Street. And in years past, and probably they're doing the same thing this year, they put up a tent. It's outside, and it's always they always have great services. And so mark your calendar so that starts tomorrow evening and goes through, that would be through Saturday, I guess, or Sunday maybe, whatever the 4th is.
Saturday.
Okay. So thank you to Delford for letting us know about that. Prophetic Voice Ministries is at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. And they have Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, and then church again at 6 on Sunday evening, as well as a prayer meeting on Tuesday evening at 6 and Bible study on Thursday evening at 7. The Refuge Church, which is a non-denominational church, is at Sayre. It's from the traffic light downtown Sayre, Oklahoma on 152, go 3 miles west. And there's a barn on the side of the road, and in that barn is a beautiful little worship center. Sunday school at 10, Sunday worship 10:45, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study at 7, and Wednesday youth group at 7. If you need more information, you can call Pastor Tammy Bailey, 729-0956. And now let's hear from some of our other sponsors. As I said early in the program, Grants Auction Realty is our Facebook sponsor today.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
At Bordice and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Bordice difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BarberDysonFord.net.
This is the Hour of Power. We are back. Our guest today, Pastor Scott Rogers from the United Methodist Church here in Elk City, talking about why are you standing here looking at the sky?
Correct.
And, you know, as you were talking about that, I thought, what would you do if this man was in your presence and suddenly he goes up? And what would you do? You'd probably be gaping like they were.
Yeah.
I don't. What happened?
I don't blame the disciples. Look, I don't. I can't imagine doing anything different. Uh-huh. Okay. I mean, I just can't. So I don't have any blame for them on this.
Right.
There's not even a, where I could go, yeah, see, they should have gotten this one right. I'd have been doing it. But I think the reality is, I think in the church that we have continued to do it. Have the disciples just stood there and never gone back to Jerusalem, received the Holy Spirit, they never would have gone forth and established the church literally to the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think that's the piece here is, it's not that you shouldn't have awe and, either literally or metaphorically look up at the sky towards Christ. That's, that's real.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just stay there because there's work to be done. Which leads me back to that scripture from Acts chapter 1. And I want to talk about this in terms of some practical ways that we can go to work. If we're not supposed to just stand there looking up at the sky, then what are we supposed to do? Because sometimes I hear from people, well, I would do it if I knew what to do. Well, you're in luck. Because Jesus literally gives us a roadmap. Literally, Jesus gives us a blueprint for how to do this. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I mentioned it a minute ago. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, what does he mean by that? Obviously, I think to the disciples, he literally meant Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But I think there's more there. And let me tell you what I mean by that. When I hear Jesus say Jerusalem, I think about the people that we do life with. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. Now for some of you, that's going to be your family. Some of you, maybe that's your friends or your church family. But who do you do life with? Think of it like this. Here's a good way to think of it. Back when the pandemic was at its strongest, who did you actually see? You know what I mean? Who were you with? That's who you do life with. Now, those people, again, are very important to you because they're always there, right? But here's a question I have for you. When's the last time you actually shared your faith with one of those folks?
But it's so hard to share with your family.
Isn't that interesting, though? The people that we literally do life with are some of the very people we don't share the good news with. Who is more important to us as human beings than the people we do life with? Mm-hmm. And yet, when's the last time? So here's my challenge to you. If you can't remember the last time you shared your faith, and I'm talking about just why you love Jesus, why what Christ has done in your life, say a prayer over dinner, something. If you can't remember the last time you did that, then that's too long. Mm-hmm. Your family needs Jesus. Your Jerusalem needs Jesus. So do that. Stop talking about it. Stop talking about, you know, we need family values and we need the family to be recovered and we need families to do this and we need to empower the family. Stop talking about the family. And start being the family that is committed to Christ. Stop talking about mowing the yard and mow it.
You know, I think one of the things, though, that gets us is our family knows about Jesus. They know that we love the Lord. They know that we try to do everything that we can to be good disciples. Mm-hmm. And so we think, no point in saying to them one more time, why don't you come to church this morning? They know we have church on Sunday. Why don't, you know, so I think the enemy plants that in our heart because we don't want to run them off. We don't want to hound them. We don't, you know, those are some lies that he tells us.
And if that's the case then, I mean, if that's the case, and I look, I've heard that objection. I might have even used that objection.
Right. No need to invite them to church. They know we have church every Sunday.
But if that's the case, then what's the point of us having church to begin with? I mean, if what's the point, Neva? You do this program every day. You've done it now for, what, 16, 17 years, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Almost every weekday. Why do you go to church on Sunday? I mean, you get enough pastors sitting in this chair who tell you a Bible story. There's no need for you to go to church on Sunday. That's a waste of your time. You don't need it, right? No. Mm-mm. You do. Yeah. Why?
Need the fellowship.
Because that's part of being in that community,
right?
Is to be together and sometimes, and I love this phrase, I say it a lot actually, sometimes the reason we do church is that I need you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I do church because you need me. But one of the truths of the church is that we always need each other.
That's right.
And so when we stop inviting our friends and family, we stop praying over meals, when we stop praying for our loved ones, when we stop sharing our story, and I'm not talking about setting them down and doing the Roman road, or well, you can do that, but you don't have. I'm just talking about, this is how Christ makes a difference in my life. Mm-hmm. If you can't have that conversation, but you can talk about how this TV show affected me, or man, I read this cool book, or I heard this great song, I'm okay with all that. But not to the exclusion of what Christ is doing. That story is essential. Mm-hmm. And who better to share it with than our Jerusalem, the people we do life with? Again, I want us to stop talking about how important the family is. And I want us to make the family important again.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So Jesus went from Jerusalem, then he said Judea. Now, to me, Judea for them was the city state, was the, for us is, you know, for us here where we're sitting right now, Elk City, Western Oklahoma, even Oklahoma itself, you know, the people that we have the greatest influence as a community. It is not okay for us as a community to ignore the plight of the poor. Again, if back to these polls again. Okay, how many of us think we should serve the poor? Okay, here's an opportunity. Well, they already have so much, or there's so many government programs, or, you know, well, that's that organization over there's job. How many times have you heard that? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. These are the people that we have the opportunity to serve. You know, we have children's, many of our churches have children's programs and choirs and youth programs and mission teams. And we do these things so that our community understands that what we do is to promote the love and the grace and the peace of Christ. Again, this is one of those situations where I'm kind of tired of this. You know what, Pastor? Somebody ought to do something. I hear that a lot. It's time for us to stop talking about doing something and do something.
That's right.
It's time for us to stop saying, you know what? That needs to stop over there. That's an injustice. Mm-hmm. And let's go stop the injustice. We have to actually put this into action. Grass doesn't get mowed if you don't mow it.
That's right.
Then Jesus, if he hasn't already been specific enough, kind of makes me mad. I love Jesus, but sometimes Jesus can make me mad. Because he says, Jerusalem, Judea, and then he says, Samaria. Now, if you know the history, you know that Jews and Samaritans don't get along. They don't agree. They have religious and socio issues. They're the people, quite frankly, who don't like me and I don't like them. Again, now, how many of us in church are going to admit to that? Nope. If it's Sunday morning and I take another poll, how many of you really dislike somebody? Right? But then if I started listing some names. See, Samaritans are a hard one. But maybe what Jesus is saying is, maybe it's time for us to actually live out that golden rule. To treat others the way you want to be treated. If you want someone else to show you kindness, then maybe you should show kindness first. If you want someone to be respectful of your opinion, even if it's not theirs, then maybe you should be respectful of theirs, even though it's not yours. I liken this to the world of social media. In and of itself, I am not a person who thinks social media is evil. I think there's some great parts of social media. I've said that openly and publicly. Do I think there are harmful things? Oh, absolutely. But most of the harmful things are simply based in I have no respect for what you are saying. Therefore, you are wrong, and I cannot learn from you. I will tell you something that has stayed with me now for, let's see, this was in 99, so what year is this? 23 years ago. I walked into my very first intro to theology class in seminary, and a professor of mine who just passed away recently named Billy Abraham, great man. We were sitting in a class, and it was a discussion section, and we were talking about something, and I'm young and stupid. Maybe I'm still stupid. I'm not young anymore, but I may still be stupid. But I popped off and said something. But I can't believe they think this. I just don't understand. I mean, it's clear. How come they can't get it? Mm-hmm. I'm sure I said something like that. Probably said it even worse than that. And Dr. Abraham looked at me. He was an Irishman. And he said, I just want you to understand, Scott. There are some very smart people who think differently than you. You know what? He was right. I've learned as much from people I disagree with as people I agree with. He wasn't telling me I had to tell you, just automatically go, they're right and I'm wrong. That's not what he said. He said, but have you ever stopped to consider that maybe they have something to teach you? Have you ever stopped to consider they might have something of value to you, and you might have some value to them? Some of my best friends are people that I literally don't agree with politically, or I have issues in the church with, but I learn from them. I respect them. That's one of the things I think that has been lost. And again, we can't keep telling the world to get this right when we in the church do not. Mm-hmm. We can't keep telling the world, you know what, you should disagree in love, and you should love your enemy, and you should turn the other cheek, and all those crazy Jesus phrases, unless we're willing to actually do them and live them. Because it is time for us to stop talking about love your enemy. It is time for us to stop talking about offering and receiving forgiveness. It is time for us to love our enemy and forgive those who sin against us. Mm-hmm. I didn't, look, and before you decide to shoot the messenger here, I didn't write that.
Right. You mean that comes from the Bible?
There's this little thing in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew. Uh-huh. It's right there.
Matthew 5.
We got to stop talking about this stuff. We have to do it. Because the world needs Jesus. The world needs it. Now, you'd think the last one. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Now, the ends of the earth ought to be pretty self-explanatory, right? You know, for the disciples, we know that Thomas went as far as India. We know that Philip's influence on the Ethiopian eunuch went all the way to Ethiopia. So we know that the gospel spread to all of the known world, right? In just a short amount of time, they took it to the end, what they consider to be the ends of the earth. Now, the last time we'll do this, I promise. But if I was to take a poll, how many of you believe that we should take the gospel of Jesus to every part and every country and every place in the world?
Mm-hmm. Yep. But are you willing to go?
But then start naming some places. Well, it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Well, they're not friendly. But we're at war with those people. Or, don't you know what their leadership does? We start coming up with the buts and the whats and the... It's one thing for us to say that God loves the world. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, right? It's another to say, God loves the part of the world that I love. And yet we in the church have given ourselves over to that. And sometimes it's actually closer than you think. Sometimes it sounds like this. Well, I don't want to worship with them, those people, because they don't speak my language. Or they want different style of music than I like, so we're not going to worship together. Well, they can't be in leadership, they're too young. Or they can't be in leadership, they're too old. They live on the wrong side of the railroad tracks from me. Their skin color is lighter or darker than my own. Are we meddling yet? Hmm. See, we can't just be the people that say God loves all humanity, that God loves the world. We actually have to love all humanity and love the world.
That's right.
The church has to step up and take its rightful place. If all we do, if the disciples had just stood there looking up in the sky, where would we be? And yet, sometimes in the church, I think we're stuck. We're doing worship and discipleship, but we've lost mission and outreach and love and care and action. The church is called to not have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and self-discipline. The church is called, and it is time for us to step into this world with the love of God. The world is desperate for it. If we have learned nothing over the last 3 weeks, three straight Sundays. I said this in church just a couple days ago. This three straight Sundays, we prayed for a mass shooting, the victims for a mass shooting. Three straight Sundays. And this one, this last Sunday, praying for families who were preparing for funerals for fourth graders. If you don't think the church has work to do, if you are stuck just looking up at the sky, then my prayer is that we will change. You can't mow the grass by saying mow yourself. It just keeps doing what it does. We can't ask the world to change. If we just keep saying to the world, just do what you do. It's time for the church to get to work. To stop just looking at the sky and get our boots on the ground. To truly be the hands, the feet, the voice, the presence of God in this world. To not just talk about love, but be love. Mm. To not just talk about change, but to be change. Mm. Not just to say God loves all people, but actually love all people. It's time for us to get to work.
Amen.
And there's a lot of work to do. Amen.
Great lesson that you brought us today, Scott. So much to think about on what we need to do. Shame on us. Shame on us that we're not doing what we're supposed to do, that we just lollygag around and think it's going to happen without us participating.
More than just shame, I want to stress urgency. Mm-hmm. Look, we can always go back and armchair quarterback what we should have done. I do that. I'm guilty as charged. But we can't always change what's happened. Mm-hmm. But I can change what's happening. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's not so much a call to, hey, you know, we stink as the church. It's more of a call to say, the urgency is now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It is time for us to get to work now. That urgency, mm-hmm. more so than going backwards, it's time to go forwards. That's right. In urgency.
That's right. That is so true. Will you pray to?
Would love to
get us out of here.
Would love to. Gracious God, unsettle our soul with urgency. Oh God, let us stop just talking about loving you and loving our neighbor. Empower us through your Spirit to love you and love our neighbor. And help us, oh God, to be your people in a hurting world. Who don't just say, world, heal yourself. But we actually bring them into contact with the healer himself. Because the world needs Jesus. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. From me, Neva, from Miss Sue, from Miss Monica, who has made it in here finally, and from Pastor Scott, have a blessed day. We will see you back in here tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.